On the very first Sabbath of January 2020, I jokingly made the comment, "I can see more clearly now," referring to 2020. And I became a false prophet because I never, in my wildest dreams, saw what was coming a month later. How wrong I was, how quickly things changed. We got hit with, Donald Trump calls it, the China virus, COVID-19. And maybe it'll be good to remember him in your prayers. He's went to Walter Reed Hospital to get treated for COVID. But we went into a lockdown. Calgary became almost a ghost town if you drove through the city. There was talk about flattening the curve, and they're talking about self-isolation for 14 days. Church services were canceled. We were affected by that. At least for 4 months, all across the country, and in some areas we still aren't assembling. That was my very first ever sabbatical, I think, from preaching. I became our setup crew, and I hooked up our laptop with HDMI cable to our Sony TV, and we caught the Cincinnati webcast for 4 months. So my brain went to mush regarding giving sermons, preparing them, but it was kind of a nice break. In some ways, but certainly Claudia and I said, we both really began to miss getting together for church services. And we missed Passover. She and I washed each other's feet. And we missed Pentecost. Finally, the fall festivals came and we're able to assemble for trumpets, thankfully, in Calgary. We learned all about social distancing. We're still doing it now. And we do need to be careful about that because Alberta Health can walk at any time. And if they see things they don't like, they could shut us down. So need to be aware of that. And then masks were on, they were off again. Some areas require them. Ontario is clamping down even more just recently now. Gloves, hand sanitizing. Weddings were postponed or canceled. I was supposed to do a wedding in the Rocky Mountains around Mount Robson, but the couple eloped. They went to Kelowna, down to Vancouver area, and David Palmer did a small wedding for them, an outdoor wedding. We still have people who have died during this in the church who we have not buried. We have not had memorial services for. We did have one for Ken Amy, a Zoom memorial service held out of the United States. Actually went very well, I thought. The only funeral I did was for Peter Kroltz. He passed away in the spring. And I did a full-fledged funeral. There's five of us there in a funeral home. We had eulogies, we had music, I gave a full funeral message, and then we had the graveside committal prayer, but huge funeral hall, five of us there, not normal times. I had to stop going to Orange Theory Fitness, they shut that down, I reopened it now, and we went back to cutting our own hair. Claudia, I don't think I'm going to go back to a hairstylist anymore. Claudia is doing such a great job. Tell her she's doing a good job. It saves me a lot of money every month. And then I cut her hair, and she said, "Well, I said, how much?" And she said, "About an inch." So I gave her a haircut. She looked at it and said, "You took off 3 inches." So little did I know, but eventually it grew back again. So I never heard of Zoom before, so all of a sudden, everybody's Zooming. I become a baby Zoomer now instead of a baby boomer. So we started Zoom Bible studies Wednesday night across all the way from British Columbia to Manitoba. We did a Zoom ministerial conference, Eastern, Western. We did a Zoom pastors meeting. We did a Zoom festival coordinators meeting. I was at the GCE in February, and basically the state of Ohio caused us to cancel the General Conference of Elders. Travel stopped. Rare to see an airplane in the sky. If you have plane tracker, I got that on my smartphone. It's hard to see any planes flying around, even now. Saw people worried and stocking up on toilet paper. Vacations were canceled. Our daughter and her family, they were going to go to Mexico last March, and they had to cancel that. It was our 50th wedding anniversary, and we had plans to go camping at Haida Gwaii. They canceled our ferry reservations. So we're going to go fish where Ashley works in Terrace, and you can't camp there if you're out of province. We canceled that. So we spent our 50th anniversary in two different locations here in Alberta. People learned to work from home again, homeschooled their children. I read that about 1.5 million Canadians moved back in with their parents. And I read that about 278,000 parents moved in with their adult children. Nothing was certain except uncertainty. Riots, demonstrations broke out, still are breaking out. People want to defund the police. We've had massive forest fires in the West, and the smoke has reached here to us in Alberta, and I think all the way across the country. They ran out of English spelling names for tropical storms and hurricanes, so they went to, I think, the Greek alphabet. The LA Times ran an article entitled, Why 2020 Feels Like the Apocalypse. And in that article, they deduced that extreme temperatures, unparalleled wildfires, increase in hurricanes, stronger landfalls, a pandemic, water shortages, dissemination of animal and insect species, economics approaching a precipice, and natural catastrophes announced as being of biblical proportions, all seem to be reaching our new normal. And the article said, we are indeed living in apocalyptic times. We've adopted a new normal, accepting everything we know about how to act, how to learn, how to work, that can change on a dime. How quickly everything changed, caught everybody off guard. It hasn't been easy. It still is not easy. This has been a challenging phase to put together, and I feel for all the coordinators, the extra stress on them. We've had to cancel about half of our American phase, even. But we're here, brethren, to focus on better times to come, the kingdom of God, Christ's millennial reign, the world tomorrow. Things will be much different then, we know. And at that time, there will be a new normal. So strange from the days we live in right now. So my message title is, The New Normal Then. And I'm just going to stick to the prophet Isaiah. I mean, there's so many scriptures on it. But, you know, I went through these myself. I went out camping out to about a half an hour from here by the Elbow River. And I just went through Isaiah and read scriptures about how conditions will be different in the world tomorrow than they are now. Much better. I found that comforting. There's no new theology. It's just a re-emphasis of what we understand. But you just put it all together, and it's so positive. And I think we need some comforting. We need some positive news. So let's start Isaiah chapter 2. I'll read verse 4. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Massive change. No military. No West Point. No aircraft carriers. No bombers. I did a quick Google search. Total global military expenditure in 2019 was $1,917 billion. Military expenditure. And that's according to the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11, a comfort scripture. We get our church seal from this. Referring to Jesus Christ, it says, righteousness will be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them. Kids love pets, and they're going to have some fantastic pets. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together. Lion will eat straw like the ox. I never quite understood how they're going to do that with the teeth they have in their digestive system, but somehow God's, oh, you're projecting them. Cool, I didn't know that. Number 8, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and a weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Beautiful picture of man not being harmed by animals. And I Googled another study. In the U.S., during one study period, there were 86 deaths annually from venomous animal encounters. Just from venomous animals. But kids will be playing with them. Our dog got skunked this summer. Hopefully, I don't know if skunks will be around the world tomorrow, but I was sitting out in a back deck, our little fire going, and our dog beside me, he's a Sheltie, and he took off fast as he'd go to the back corner against the fence. He came flying back again, stinking. And I don't know how the skunk got in the backyard, because we made it cat-proof, so the cat can't get out. And this was the Wazakoffs were our guests. They were staying downstairs. They came for Calgary's 25th anniversary. And all of a sudden, you know, through the bathroom vent, things started smelling downstairs. We put the dog overnight in the garage, and quite a smell when you open up the garage door in the morning. And then Claudia Googled and washed the dog down. But that's the second time it's happened to us. And I wonder about skunks, if they're going to be spraying in the world tomorrow. It doesn't say. Let's read Isaiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Isaiah 17, verse 7. In that day, a man will look at his maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. He will not look to the altars, the work of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. A world without idolatry. That'll be the new normal. Isaiah 19, verse 23 to 25. Let's read that. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and Egyptians into Assyria, and Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of the three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts will bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people. Don't forget, Israel was in captivity and slavery in Egypt. And Assyria, don't forget, the Assyrians took Israel captive. And Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Nations will all get along. Israel will get along great with their former enemies. Isaiah 28, 16 and 17. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious stone, a cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily, and I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Triumph, or truth, will triumph. We hear so much about lies nowadays, but God's going to sweep all the lies away. We won't have to worry about fake news all the time. Isaiah 29, verse 18. I notice some of you are adjusting your hearing aids at times, but I don't think we're going to have any hearing aid companies in the world tomorrow. Because in that day, the deaf will hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Humble will increase her joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. I don't think we'll need the CNIB, Canadian National Institute for the Blind, seeing eye dogs, white canes, hearing aids. Isaiah 29, verse 24. Those who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. What a wonderful thing when God's truth is available to everybody and they begin to understand it and practice it, apply it, understand it. What a wonderful thing. I can remember how excited I was when I began to understand and learn God's truth. I was just in junior high school, and I couldn't get enough of it. Just, wow, this is awesome. And to have the whole world come to that, what a beautiful thing that's going to be. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19 to 21. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. We've seen a lot of weeping during this crisis. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, yet your teachers will no more be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Especially in higher education now, the only way your eyes see your teachers is on Zoom. It's almost all distance learning now. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is a way, walk in it, a personal approach, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. A lot of one-on-one instruction. Isaiah 30, verse 23 and 24. Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow your ground, and the bread of the increase of the earth will be fat and plentiful. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise the oxen, the young donkeys that work the ground, they will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and the fan. You know, we're blessed here in Alberta. We have visitors from Toronto. We have visitors from Montreal and elsewhere. But, you know, if you're here in Alberta, try some of our beef. It's pretty good. Or we went out with Mike and Patty after Atonement. It was my birthday, actually, and just turned 75. So we went out for a special dinner and had some Alberta beef at Cattle Baron. And take advantage of what the area has to offer. Cochrane is a fairly small town, but there's a lot of nice amenities and actually a lot of nice restaurants. We were camping this summer with next to a couple from Cochrane, and they said when they got to the restaurant, they think, well, maybe we should go to Calgary. The only time to go to Calgary is when they want to go out to Chianti's, but they said otherwise, the restaurants here are great, so don't have to go far. Isaiah 32, beginning in verse 1, he said, behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princesses will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. People aren't going to be afraid of being abducted. Growing up as a kid, it's unheard of to have your parents take you to school. You know, we walk 2 miles uphill both ways in 3 feet of snow. But now, I guess because of the fear of all of this sort of stuff, it's turned many into helicopter parents, and they're afraid to let their kids go out on their own anywhere. It's not going to be the case in the world tomorrow. That won't happen. Verse 3, the eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen. And the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. Got a stuttering problem? Not in the world tomorrow. Okay? Got cataracts? I don't think there'll be an issue in the world tomorrow. Isaiah 32, verse 16 to 18. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people will dwell in peaceable habitation, in secure dwellings, in quiet resting places. Maybe you won't have as much noise pollution. They're building this ring road, the last section of it in Calgary, and some people are really complaining with all the construction noise and the noise of traffic close to their homes. But what a beautiful thing when, I guess that's one reason, it's hard to get camping ground or camping spots this summer because a lot of people are off work. What are you going to do? You go camping and get away out in the wilderness and get some peace and quiet. You know, many who live in places such as Portland, Seattle, Chicago, would love to hear these words that I just read about dwelling in peace and quietness. Isaiah 33, let's read verse 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Jesus Christ, King over all the earth, and the greatest, wisest ruler we will ever have. Wiser than Solomon, even. Isaiah 33, verse 22. He said, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. We're going to have a different legal system, not the kind we have today. But in the States, they always have, it's always a big issue when they nominate a Supreme Court judge and the hoops they have to go through. What Kavanaugh had to go through, it's shameful, actually. But I don't think we're going to have that kind of a system in the world tomorrow. The legal system, I'm sure, is going to be much different. Are we going to need all the lawyers we have today? All the judges? What about jails? You know, you read about Israel in the Old Testament. Where do you find in the scripture that God told them to build jails? They worked off their crimes. You stole, you had to pay X amount back, right? You're guilty of manslaughter, the city is a refuge, and nobody supported you. You had to work, pay your bills, and live there till the high priest died. Isaiah 35, beginning in verse 1, beautiful section here. It said, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice. I don't know if anybody's been to Butchart Gardens, but maybe imagine Butchart Gardens out in the Sahara Desert or something. Even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. In verse 3, it says, strengthen the weak hands. I think we need that. A lot of people are anxious. There's a lot of people who are depressed. A lot of people who are, threatened to go over the edge mentally. And we need to be strengthened. It says, strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong. Don't fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb will sing. Water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Climate, we talk a lot, I don't talk a lot, but some people talk a lot about climate change. And carbon tax is very controversial. But I'm not too worried about the world coming to an end through climate change. I'm more concerned about the trumpet plagues, the Revelation, and the Great Tribulation. I don't think climate change, global warming, will be an issue that'll even talked about in a millennium. And certainly, I don't think we're going to have carbon taxes. That'll be the new normal. In verse 7, the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of jackals where each lay, there'll be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway will be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not pass over, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. And sorrow as sighing shall flee away. Happiness is going to shoot up quantumly in the world tomorrow. I don't think you're going to have as many people who are depressed and who are suicidal. Isaiah chapter 40, 10 and 11, said, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. His work is before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. This is a leadership approach that's gentle, that's tender. It's not dictatorial. Verse 18 of Isaiah 41, I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and a dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together. Isn't it beautiful to get out in creation and see God's magnificent trees? When we lived in B.C., especially on the coast, we really enjoyed those huge cedar trees and just the smell of it and walking in a cedar forest. This is basically, the Bible says we're going to have, in the world tomorrow, it'll be a time of the restitution of all things. Back to Eden. Back to that beauty and glory. But magnify that worldwide. Chapter 42, starting in verse 1. Behold my servant whom I have upheld, my elect, one in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out or raise his voice or cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He'll bring forth justice for truth. He won't fail or be discouraged until he's established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. It's not going to happen, in 1 year. It's going to take a while, I'm sure, in the world tomorrow. But we're not going to have evil dictators. We're not going to have crooked politicians. Chapter 42, 6 to 9. Said, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people and a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Guess how many people are in jail right now, worldwide? I kind of wondered about that. So that's another thing I Googled when I read this verse. Pretty neat. You can just ask Siri or Google it. But the statistic that I found said there are more than 10.35 million people in prison throughout the world today. Guess which country has the most in jail? The United States. 2.2 million people in jail. And Christ is coming to liberate, to bring them out of jail. And I think under Christ's reign, they're not going to end up going back again like they do nowadays so often. So verse 8, I am the Lord, this is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Behold, they spring forth. I tell you of them. Chapter 44. I see it was just full of millennial scriptures. Beautiful book to go over. Verse 3. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. Floods on a dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, the Lord's, name himself by the name of Israel. No more after foreign gods, foreign prophets. Chapter 44, verse 23. It says, sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, you lowest parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. You know, if you're from the east, this is a beautiful area to come to see a part of God's creation. Banff is an hour down the road. Lake Louise, maybe an hour and a half. World-class destination. People come from all over the world to see the beauty of the area. And twice, I've had a chance with YOU to cycle that on a bicycle on a five-day cycle trip. And you get to absorb not just the scenery, but the air and the smells that go with it. And the beautiful clear water. We stop by streams and waterfalls and fill up our canteens. The government is trying to keep it pristine, but take advantage and enjoy the area. Stan Kitt was telling me before services, if you're thinking about the Johnson Canyon, you can't drive in there. It's about a 6-kilometer hike to even reach the trailhead, so scratch that one, but you can do some research. Maybe the tourist information has some helpful hints also. Isaiah 52, verse 7 and 8. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they'll sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Isn't that beautiful that people aren't going to be so polarized? I mean, I've never seen in my whole life people so polarized as they are today about so many things, based on sometimes the same facts. No opposing political parties, bad-mouthing each other. Isaiah 54, verse 10, it says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. No cheap workmanship, okay? Quality workmanship, good materials. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you. Beautiful passage again. People are going to be happy, mentally healthy, physically healthy, spiritually healthy. Chapter 60, getting down to the end here, you know, there's not too many chapters after 60. In chapter 60, verse 4 and 5, he said, lift your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart will swell with joy, because the abundance of the seas will be turned unto you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto you. One thing... I'm sure the oceans are going to be cleaned up. You know, you read about all the plastics in the ocean now. And there's one part of the Pacific Ocean that's almost the size of one of the American states, just a pool of plastic floating around. Chapter 60, verse 17 and 18. Instead of bronze, quality is going to be elevated. God is a God of quality. What he does in a quality way. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. No more protests, no more demonstrations, no more looting, rioting, pillaging, burning. Chapter 60, verse 22. A little one, you know, you wonder, you know, nowadays the trend is that couples don't have too many kids anymore. I grew up in the 50s, and we had small homes and big families, and now we have big homes and small families. But I suspect that the size of families will be a little larger than they are today. And it says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. You can have some great family reunions, family get-togethers. There'll be a lot of work to do. Chapter 61, verse 4. They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. A lot of work for construction. Chapter 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Lion will eat straw like the ox. Dust will be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. I'm going back to finish with two final scriptures. These I purposely missed to save for the conclusion. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6 to 9. And don't forget, by and large, the world will begin to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And I don't think they're going to need to socially distance. Okay? They'll probably be packed in there, shoehorned in there. Fill every seat. So verse 6, and in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will take away the spiritual blindness. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from their faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And in that day it will be said, behold, he is our God. We waited for him. He will come and save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. I've been praying thy kingdom come for 55 years. And finally, that prayer will be answered. Your prayer will be answered. Our prayers will be answered when he's there. Final scripture. We're having a night service. This is tradition. Most areas do. But since I've been coming to the feast, we've always had an evening service to begin with. So, verse 29, Isaiah chapter 30. And we are going to have one more hymn. So, you shall have a song as in a night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute. And we have some beautiful musical instruments here to accompany us. To come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. So, welcome as we picture the new normal then. And I say, welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles now.